Let's have a look at Scripture for this morning and just set a baseline for what we're going to do. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading from NIV version. The Apostle Paul is speaking in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." You know, King James Version says this, "I do not want you to be ignorant." How many people have been told they were ignorant? Have you ever had that happen in your life? I have. How'd that make you feel?
Not good.
Not good. Yeah, that's right. You know, none of us want to be uninformed. None of us want to be ignorant. We want to be well-informed. We want to have an understanding of things. And the Apostle Paul says this, so about the gifts of Spirit, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, we can learn about them. We can grow in them so we are not ignorant or uninformed, but equipped to be able to function in all that God's called us to do. You know, how many people want to be equipped? Right. Just say amen. You want to be. May it be so. So the word amen, you know, I'm on word definitions today. Amen means may it be so or so be it. And so when you say that, you're adding your agreement to the word. Okay, so about the spiritual gifts. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Jump down to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. If you look at verse 4 and verse 5, you actually see the triunity of God there. You see the Spirit, you see the word Lord, which means Jesus, and you see the Father or God, all right? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit you see at work. And I can't help but be reminded of Jesus, right? As he walked on the earth, he said a lot of things, but one thing he said, I do nothing apart from my Father's will. In other words, whatever he speaks to me, I do. And if you remember, I said that Jesus, in a sense, was the Holy Spirit personified, right? In other words, everything that we can do as believers, we could see in Jesus. And yet, he didn't do anything apart from his Father telling him. It's the same for us as superheroes in the Lord. What happens is we have to hear from him, and then we act upon it, and then we see God glorified. Amen? And so let's take a minute and just look at this, specifically verse 7. It says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Another word for that manifestation, expression. You can literally use that. So for each... Now to each one, the expression of the Spirit is given for the common good. So each one of us express the presence of God in different ways. We all have access to the presence of God, don't we? You know, I have access to Home Depot. How many people here have access to Home Depot? All right, but what do you have to do? You got to get in your car, right? You got to drive down there, go in, get your items, go out. And if you pay for them, they'll let you come out, right? And so I'm not talking about that kind of access. Because we have the presence of God dwelling in us that literally in just a second I can say Jesus and he's right there. He's right there and there's an access that's connected right away. And so it's for what? The common good. So each one of us, though we have access to the Spirit of God, we don't have complete access as Jesus did. Because the church is called the body of Christ, right? So if Jesus had everything, but the local church is called a local body of Christ or a local expression of the body of Christ, then each one of you have a uniqueness of the presence of God, of giftings. Everyone gets what I mean? And so by yourself, you're incomplete in a sense. You've got all the Holy Spirit, but you have personal access to a part of the giftings. But your neighbor sitting beside you has access to a different part of the giftings. And your neighbor a couple steps, you know, a couple seats over has access to others. So as all of us work together as a local expression or a local body of Christ, you have a complete body. So in other words, you have some people who are prophets, for example. You know, you have other people in the area of administration and leadership. You have other people in signs and wonders, those kinds of miracles. You see, and we've got, how many people got their little card this morning? You know, on there's like 22 different gifts that are listed there. And so all of those different things, none of us do all of those things. But all of us together do all of those things. You hear what I'm saying? And that's why we need one another. And I think God did it that way so none of us could be an island of ourselves. I believe that because it forces us to have to work together as a team to glorify God. That's God's nature, amen, for us to depend upon one another as we fully depend upon Him. Amen? Okay, so these gifts, I want to, you know, you might, when I share what I'm going to share, some of you may already know this. And when I tell you that I just learned a part of this, I knew some of it, but not all of it, you might actually call me ignorant. That's okay. You know what? I'm still learning. But I pray that we can all grow together. So here's the thing. The word gifts, as in spiritual gifts, here's what it means. The Greek word is charisma, which means, and they're going to put it up here, miraculous power and power to deliver from danger. Now, that's pretty cool, right? In other words, the purpose of the gifts is to give us miraculous power. In other words, supernatural powers, right? You have supernatural, you know, status, so you're superhero status, right? And so that makes sense. But and to deliver from danger. In other words, our job through the gifts is to help deliver people and then deliver ourselves. I can't tell you how many times over the years that God spoke to me and delivered me, saved me from harm, from danger. Has anyone else ever had that happen in their lives? Okay, well, think about this. That's not only for you, but it's for those around you as well. That's what they're primarily designed for. So gifts, the charisma. Now, often when we think of the word, you might hear someone say, hey, that person has charisma. What do we think of, right? You know, that you're kind of attracted to them by how they do things. You know, maybe the way they jump around or can do cartwheels or the way they talk or how they talk. You know, they have charisma. That's really not the original meaning of this word. The idea is that when a person has charisma, according to the Word of God, it means that the presence of God is in them to deliver people from danger. Wow. Man, isn't this defining a superhero pretty cool, right? You know, just like in the natural, right? Well, in the realm of spirit, that's what God has called us to do as well. Now, I'm knowing that, all right? I know that. But I always try to go a little deeper and say, well, okay, charisma, I know that that's a compound word in the Greek. So what's the root? Now, here's the cool part. This is what I didn't know or didn't connect together. So pop that up for me. So it's the first part of charisma, charis, and it means grace, which means divine favor and influence on the heart. So let me connect the dots for you here. The gifts come from grace. Specifically, as the presence of God has influenced and touched our hearts, as we've been changed by His favor, as we've experienced Him, then the charisma, the gifts of the Spirit flow up and out of that. Doesn't that make it easier? You know, so I remember in my early years, I'm trying to say, okay, God, what are my gifts? You know, I want this to happen, I want that to happen, and I'm trying to make stuff happen. When one day God, you know, arrested me in a sense. You know, I'm trying to do what He wanted me to do, trying to exercise the gifts, and here's what God said. He said, don't try to make it happen. He said, son, just let it happen. And I didn't fully understand, but it literally is this. It's just let my grace, as I experience God, as I experience more of His grace, more of His favor, more of a changed heart because of His influence, the gifts just come out naturally. It's not something you got to kind of like make happen. You know, does an apple tree have to force itself to make apples? Does an orange tree have to force itself? No, it just happens. It drinks in what? The nutrients of the ground, sunlight on the leaves, and it just makes whatever it was designed to do. Well, we have been designed to exhibit the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been designed to do. And as we allow the grace of God to come and change us, then the gifts just naturally come out. So don't try to make it happen, but let it happen. So for example, some of you, I hope, are going to go and do the spiritual gifts test, all right? It's that little QR code, or you can go to reachoutchurch.com and go down a little bit, and there's a little box that says, would you like to take a spiritual gifts test? And you just click on it. When you're done that test, take you 5 or 10 minutes, you'll get five of those gifts of the 22 that suggest that, hey, these might be areas that you're gifted in. Don't try to make those five things happen. The idea is to say, Lord, I want to let these things happen. And it happens as you continue to press in to the presence of God. Amen? So I just encourage you with that. Now, we're going to do something a little different right now. Speaking of the grace of God and the gifts of God, I'm going to ask Ingrid and Alan Kulik to come up. And if you know them, hey, put your hands together for them, because you know them and you know what they do here. Amen? And so we're going to just talk with them, you know, in the context of spiritual gifting, and we had a great time at the first service. I'm looking forward to our time together here as well. Thanks, guys, for joining me again up here. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. You know, I'd spoken to Alan Ingrid, you know, actually a couple months ago, and I said that I was going to be doing, you know, a thing called, you know, superhero status and talking about the gifts. And I said, you know, I think that you guys really fit into that category. And so God has done some amazing things. So I think not everybody knows who you are. You know, some people clap politely. They're like, I don't know these people. And so that's all right. Take a minute, who are you? You know, how long you've been married? Give us just a little bit of background.
33 years.
Wow. And you're still together.
Yeah.
When I lived in the South Bronx, I got hung up with drugs, and I was homeless for a while, and lived on the street, and I know what it was like to be hungry. Mm. And anyway, I didn't know that God had let me go through that to prepare me for the ministry that he had for me.
It's really good.
You know, and 21 years later, I did pantry at another church for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then we came here, and we asked Pastor Vic if we could do pantry. And go ahead, Al. Little did I know that God was going to, you know, when we first started a pantry, my wife and I and Sandra would be up at the annex. We had this one little shelving unit, and people would come and one or two families. And in a time like this, I'd be outside with my kite. I had a kite, and I'd play with a kite. And she would do her needlework. And then as the weeks and the months and the years went on and on and on, we had to get another rack, and then we had to get another rack, and then we had to get another rack. We had to get a freezer. And we got a grocery store up there now.
Amen. So, Ingrid, how did you get involved? You know, again, we're talking about gifts, and so, you know, Alan has different giftings than yours, and so how did you respond to all this in the very beginning?
Well, I didn't have a vision for the pantry. Al had the vision, and that's one of Al's gifts, is vision. And he had a vision for the pantry, and he said, well, Pastor Vic says we can start a pantry. And I thought,
and has he got a mouse in his pocket?
I can help. I can do stuff, you know. So that was my role, was to kind of come on and do some of the administrative work, shall we say. Yeah.
So, you know, obviously things have grown, and it doesn't happen by accident. You know, Jesus talks about, you know, starting with the little, and then you get greater things. But how did it grow? In other words, and I know Al talked about, you know, again, from his vision point of view, say, yeah, we just got more racks. It was a little more than that, right?
Amen.
Al said, we need another rack. Okay, got to write a grant proposal, got to do this, got to do that. Yeah. We got involved with the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York and became a member of that. We had to go through inspection and application and such. And they really helped us a lot to do things in a good way. They also gave us access to food for a very good price. We were able to buy food at 16 cents a pound from them. That's salvaged and donated. You know, anytime you go grocery shopping and the box is dented, you don't buy it, right? But the product is still fine on the inside. That's the stuff that gets donated, all right? So they can't sell it in the store, but it's certainly perfect food.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, now when I don't buy the dented box, I think, oh, that'll get donated. You know, so don't buy the dented boxes. We need them. So over time, we were able to grow. We wrote grants and got funding for our freezers. We now have five freezers, two refrigerators, nine shelving units, big ones, big industrial ones, where we just got some funding to do the trailers over in the back that are attached to the back of the annex. One is going to be, it's a partial freezer. We're going to make the whole thing freezer and dry goods year round and so on. We need storage space. If you've been up there, you see there's always this huge pile of boxes in the corner. We just don't have enough space to store it all. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Tried to get the whole gym, but didn't work. You know? So.
They did try.
We did try. During COVID.
It's a constant pushback.
COVID, we took it over, yeah.
It's a shared space.
It's a shared space.
You know, some people have been, how many people participated in the food pantry at some time, you know, seen it in operation? Just put your hand up. Okay, so, you know, it looks like about maybe half-ish. The other half pretty have no clue of the scale and the size of it. You want to give us some statistics of, you know, how big this thing really is?
Yeah. Well, we started in 2002, and I started to actually keep statistics in 2007, mainly because for some of our grant funders, sure, I needed to. So I went back and took a look at that yesterday. So already 5 years into it, as we began to grow, we in 2007 took care of 75 to 100 families per month, mm-hmm, which equates to about 150 to 200 people, depending on the size of the family. This year, we're doing 300 families per month, which equates to about 450 to 500 people per month. So, you know, we run anywhere from 40 to 50 families on a given Friday, yep, when we're open. Yep. In terms of the amount of food that we distribute, in the very beginning with our one little rack, I think we had about 500 pounds of food in the beginning, and that was it. We now bring in anywhere from 8,000 to 12,000 pounds per month.
Wow.
To distribute. So last year we distributed 125,000 pounds of food, of which 70,000 was donated food. That means we go pick up at the grocery stores, at Panera Bread, mm-hmm, at a couple of farms. Long Table Harvest, which is a gleaning group, they come in the summer and they bring us a lot of fresh produce that's been gleaned that was left in the fields and such, and left after the farmers' markets. You know, won't last another week, and they deliver it on Tuesday. We keep it cold and distribute it. So, it's a huge effort.
It's awesome. Yeah. You know, so often when we talk about spiritual gifts, sometimes we negate the fact that there is a physical side of spiritual gifts as well. In fact, if you read the book of James, it talks a lot about that. It talks about, you know, if you have real faith, you don't just say, be warm and keep well, but don't offer a blanket, then you're not really, you know, believing in the fullness of what God has. And so as I look at what you guys do, I see really two sides to it. You've got the physical side where you're helping people physically, you know, nourish them, but there's also a spiritual dimension to it that, and in fact, this is probably what differentiates our food pantry from most of the others in the area. You want to talk about the spiritual side of it a little bit?
Sure.
When we first started, the food bank at Hudson Valley told us no praying. Mm-hmm. So the first time we had pantry, we didn't pray. But then the Holy Spirit, you got to pray for these people. Pray for these people. And then we started praying for them. And the food bank finds out that we're praying for them, but nobody came to tell us to stop.
Amen.
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 Sorry.
Yep.
Well, the effort is certainly we're giving them food. We're giving them physical nourishment, which is something that they're coming for. That's what they need. But the volunteers that work with us are very careful to make sure that they are making relationship, mm-hmm, learning about the person, who are you, what do you need, you know, what's going on in your life. And sometimes it takes many visits to kind of get that, and other times it happens quickly.
Yes.
You know? So, and as a result, they can pray with them. We've had people come back and tell us this, that prayers have been answered, that they they got a job, they got a healing, there was a reconciliation, amen, in the family, you know, whatever things. And so blessings come back to us.
That's awesome. Mm.
And salvations.
We get salvations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And I know we normally, the prayer is offered at the end. So in other words, it's not like, hey, if you don't pray with me, you don't get any food. It's not like that at all.
No.
Everyone gets served. And the idea is that prayer is just offered at the end.
It's offered. It's never required for them to get food. It's simply, is there something I can pray for
yes.
you? You know.
And if they say they don't want prayer, as they're walking out the door, we're praying for them.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, yeah. And I notice a lot of the volunteers when they pick up the little piece of paper that tells them the person's name and the size of the family and such. I notice a lot of the volunteers take those and tuck them in their pockets. And I've been told by a lot of the volunteers that they take them home and they pray for those clients all night. So, and that just kind of evolved. That just happened. Yeah.
Amen.
It's special.
You know, your volunteers, do they have specific tasks? How did that all come to happen?
Well, they would come and volunteer, and the Holy Spirit would tell them what to do. We didn't tell them what to do, and they would just start doing what they did. God told them to do, and everything is taken care of. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no, oh, there's nothing happening there, so I got to do that. Oh, there's nothing happening there, I got to do. No, God brings these people, and God tells them what to do, and they do it. Mm-hmm. It's really cool, because you're watching God move, and, you know, I ask God a lot, you know, for help and stuff like that. He says, just stay out of my way, and I'll take care of everything. You just be there.
Amen. That's a good word for today. You're hearing a theme of that, right? Just get out of the way so the gifts can work in your life. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's a keeper. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, in fact, let's talk about this for a minute. You've been doing this for 21 years now, and you know, I said this at the first service. I pray you can do it for another 21, all right? That's my prayer. Amen, because you're doing such a tremendous thing for the kingdom as well as blessing the church as well. But how has this changed you? Here you are, you know, you're operating in your gift, doing it. How have you been changed through this process?
In a lot of ways. When I first started volunteering in the pantry with Al, I thought we were there for the clients, and that was why God had us do it. And that is partially true, but I think the bigger reason he had us do it was because he had work to do in us. Hmm. And he has shown me a lot of times how I can make assumptions about people, how I can judge, mm-hmm. how I can respond to people out of that assumption and judgment. Mm. He has shown me how to be better at teamwork, and he has shown me himself in ways that I wouldn't have otherwise seen. Mm. There was one time where, and I always felt God was present in the pantry, but I saw him for many years as people size, my size. Hmm. And there was one particular day where the pantry was just humming along. We had a lot of families in. There must have been 30 families in there, and volunteers were working, and it looked like Grand Central Station, and I was just marveling at it. And I said, God, I know you're here somewhere. Where are you? And I'm looking behind the racks, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden, across the whole back of the gym, all I saw was this part of his face, his eyes, looking right at me, huge. And it took my breath away, and I just looked, and he was just looking at me. And I realized that he wasn't some little guy behind the rack. He's everywhere. He's huge. Amen. He's enormous. And he's all over. And from that day forward, I was able to really let go a lot of control. Mm. I stopped worrying about the pantry. It was more a feeling of, sometimes when we open, there may not be enough volunteers, but you know what? I know God's going to bring them in, and sure enough, they walk in the back door. Yep. You know.
And the last one in has to pray.
Yeah, we always open up with prayer. Yeah.
Now, you shared at the first service a story, you know, and this is important because, you know, often our gifting and what we think are at odds with one another. And so you shared a story of a woman who came in. You want to share that story because I believe it's powerful. I think it helps a lot of people here to talk about the inner struggle that we all deal with.
Yeah. Well, both Al and I were very protective of our volunteers. Those are our people. You don't mess with our people, you know. And sometimes, you know, we deal with hurt people, but we also deal with some real tough ones. Some come in and they're high. Some come in and they're drunk. We deal with a lot of pretty serious mental illness. We deal with entitlement, big one, and that's real hard. And they can get all up in our faces and stuff. And some of our volunteers are very meek, gentle people. Not like Al, street smart. You know, they're gentle, and you can walk all over them. And anyway, so I'm protective, and I'm always kind of behind the racks watching things. You know, in the back, and Al's always watching the front. You know, we come into the pantry, and we don't see each other for the rest of the day. We're doing our parts. You know, this woman comes in. I'd never seen her before. She was big. She was probably a good foot taller than me. She was a very tall woman, and she was a big woman. I'm a good-sized woman, but she was a big woman. And she was really tough-like. And, you know, the chains hanging from the belt with all the keys on it and stuff. And she almost kind of like a motorcycle kind of thing, you know. And you know, so my mind's cranking, right? And she had a very loud voice and very foul mouth. And she was starting to run up and down the volunteers. And I'm behind the rack, and I'm looking through across the gym at her, and I'm thinking, you don't treat our people this way. This is not going to work, you know. And I come out. Now, by the time I get myself worked up enough to do that, I'm worked up, right? So,
no. You know,
That's when I hide.
I'm more the quiet type, but it has to kind of explode out of me to come out, you know. Anyway, I'm hoofing across the gym, and I'm going. And what's going on in my head and in my mind was not godly at all, I can tell you that. About halfway across the gym, God's grace, and the only way I can describe it is it dropped on me. It just dropped all over me, and I felt it. And as I got to her, what I was thinking did not come out. As I got to her, my arms came up, and they went around her. And now, picture this. Now, I'm holding this very large person, and my chin is on her shoulder. So my mouth is right next to her ear, and I'm holding her, and I'm thinking, she's going to kill me. And I'm holding her, and she's just standing there, stiff as a... It was like hugging a tree. And I whisked... Now, out of my mouth, again, wasn't what was in my brain. It was like there was two things going on. And out of my mouth comes... Jesus loves you. And I stood there and I thought, oh, now I'm going to get it. Now I'm going to get it. And you know when you're hugging a person, you try to release and they won't let you go? Well, she's now holding on to me. And, you know, she's big. And she's holding on to me. And all of a sudden, I felt her whole body start to tremble. Just trembling. And I'm thinking, oh, I think it was a minute. You know, a minute can be a long time, yeah. You know. And when she finally released me and looked down at me, there were tears coming down her face. Mm. And she looked at me and she said, no one has ever said that to me before. And I realized that if I had said what was in my head, I would have treated her the way everyone else had always treated her. Yep. Abuse, out of assumption, judging by what they saw. I never saw her again. I think God put her there that day to teach me something. And now when I start making assumption, and I still do it, can't help it, I'm human, but when I start doing it, there's a little check that comes down. I go, wait a minute, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? Are you seeing what you like to see, or what you are used to, or are you seeing what God sees? What are you seeing? And it really helps. It helps. It stops me, not always, but it stops me from making some of those mistakes.
Amen. In a sense, you were learning to yield to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, for many of us, when we see a yellow yield sign, that just means slow down a little, but keep going. But actually, it means to yield to the other lane, to the other, you know, part of the road. And that can be challenging. Mm. So here you are, you know, gifted, called, functioning in this 21 years. Now, has it been just like this awesome yellow brick road, like every Friday morning you wake up all excited to be there? And you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, about 10 years ago, my spirit was broken. I didn't want to do pantry anymore. And Ingrid, at the same time, didn't want to do pantry anymore. So, you know, we're gritting our teeth and doing pantry. And Lord, you got to show me something, or show us something. And what happened was that we went to the pantry, and then there were salvations. Not one, not two, but many salvations. And I looked at her, and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And 21 years.
Yeah.
And as long as you allow God to do what God wants to do and stay out of his way, I mean, he knew our hearts, where we're going, and he knew what he had to do to make us stop and listen and do. That's what he does, as long as you stay out of his way and let him do.
Amen.
Yeah, I get choked up.
Amen.
You know, when we started this pantry, well, first of all, we both had dark hair, but we did. You remember that, right? But, you know, we both went through the same thing at the same time about 10 years ago. And now, I don't remember how that felt now. And the way I look at it now is, until God calls us out, mm-hmm. we're in.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
Now, it's just yesterday, and I didn't get to say this at the first service. It didn't dawn on me, but yesterday I was reading a little bit, and I'd been asking God, you know, we're getting older. Lifting 45-pound boxes is a challenge. I mean, we used to be able to do it. Now, well, the shoulders, I mean, I know how a superhero feels. You know, it hurts, you know. And then he showed me a verse in Exodus 17 with the fight with the Amalekites. Aaron and Hur supported Moses' hands.
Yeah.
When he became tired.
Yep.
And we've been watching over the last couple years the people that God has been bringing in. Mm. I used to run the inventory, and it was me who was pushing the boxes around and getting the stuff out for the volunteers. And then Donnie showed up. And Donnie showed up during the COVID years and started doing it, never left. Now Donnie runs the inventory.
Yeah. Yep.
We used to drive the truck. Al used to drive the big U-Haul, 26-foot U-Haul truck every month to get 10,000, 12,000 pounds of food. And now Anthony showed up, and now Anthony drives the truck. And that's been happening, that all the pieces that are part of this pantry, God is bringing the volunteers in and coming alongside and holding our hands up. I'm not comparing us to Moses by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying that that's a story that God was using to show me, hey, I got this. I got this.
You know, people are working through, you know, what is my gift? Where is my place? You know, that's something that we all should be asking. If they're wondering, hey, maybe the food pantry might be a place I can exercise my gifts, how do they make the connection? How can they become a part of this?
Just come see me and Al. Talk to us about it. We're open every Friday from 2 to 4:30. Come on and give it a try. You know, if God's calling you to do it, you know it. You know, he's telling you this is something you could do. We do need consistent volunteers. That doesn't mean you got to be there every Friday, but, you know, we would hope that, you know, you find that there's a role for you. Come on in and try it. There's stuff from stocking the shelves, unloading, loading, you know, working with the patrons themselves, helping them read labels, telling them about recipes, helping them make selections, kind of corralling the children, because some of them, the kids are going all over the place, you know, they just, you know, watching, just making sure things are okay, helping each other, praying for them. There's administrative gifts. We've got, you know, Alice, Pastor Vic, Dee, you, Sandra are often on the computer for us registering this. There's all kinds of stuff to be done. So depending on where your talents are, where your callings are, there's probably a place for you there. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we have a 10,000-pound order coming in. We meet the tractor trailers at Dutchess Community College, and we could use a few more strong arms if you can heft boxes. 10,000 pounds of food is a couple of hundred cases of food.
We need real-life superheroes.
Yeah. And you don't even have to pray with anybody. You can just be there, you know. And then we bring it all back here, and we unload here. And we do that about once a month, sometimes twice, depending on the flow. Even if you speak a second language, that's helpful because we are seeing an increase in the immigrant population here. And many of them have just come. They speak absolutely no English. And they can't even read the boxes. They, if you show them something, they just nod and smile because they don't know what the food is. They can't read the label. Yeah. All right. So the translation is important, that this way they go home with food that's familiar to them, and they know how to cook it. They know how to prepare it.
You know? It's awesome. You know, originally you guys were going to be doing this a few weeks ago, but I believe that God in his divine plans makes things the way they are. And so here you are, and you just mentioned to me this just a couple of days ago about a need now that's happening, you know, financially for the pantry. You want to talk a little bit about that?
We do run on our fiscal year as a pantry runs July 1 to June 30th, and we receive significant support in federal and state funding as well as private funding. We receive a good amount of money from the USDA and from the HPNAP, which is the homeless, it's the Hunger Prevention and Nutrition Assistance Program, and also the New York State Hunger Programs. FEMA also we get some money from. And then the rest of it does come from individual donations and from corporations like Wakefern and Stewart's and such all. We all put in grant applications and receive funding. To give you a sense of how that's grown to support the food purchase, back in 2007, which again was 5 years after we started, we received $16,000 in grants. This past year, we received over $40,000, and this year it's going to be over $50,000. It gives you a sense of what we need. However, our grant year, the grants are banked up at the food bank and are ratcheted down as we order. We ran out of those funds about mid-May, and that was due to federal cuts where some of the programs were cut as a result of COVID. And so now the order, for instance, that we're picking up tomorrow of 10,000 pounds is costing us $1,300. So it's significant money to the pantry funds. So we have a need.
So if you'd like to help with that, if you have our app, again, if you've ever given on that, you select the amount you want to give, then go to the next screen. And instead of general, which is your regular tithes and offerings, and don't ignore that part, that's important. But after you've done your tithes and offerings, you want to give over and above that, you click that, and the first bump down, I believe, the food pantry shows up. And so then you can just click on that and give whatever you'd like, whether a one-time gift or reoccurring. Another way you can do it is through the envelopes in your chairs. If you'd like to give, just make sure if you're writing a check or doing envelopes, make sure you specifically say for the food pantry. And so every penny will go towards that. I think 16 cents a pound for food, it's amazing.
That's for lobster?
Yeah,
it's filet mignon?
Yeah, it's
that's the kind of stuff we can get.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we have beef and chicken and pork and fish coming in tomorrow. We have vegan things. We have juices, milk, shelf-stable milk. We have cereal, all kinds of stuff coming in tomorrow.
Amen, amen. So it's awesome. So, part of the reason we had Al and Ingrid share along with this series is the idea that here they are in a practical way exercising their gifts on a weekly basis.
Amen.
And you can do the same thing, whether with them, but in whatever God has called you to do. And that's what the church is for. That's what the body of Christ is for, is to help you find your place and begin to function in it so not only you're blessed, but the world around you, your sphere of influence, is touched by the presence of God as well.
Amen.
Amen. Well, before we let Al and Ingrid go, can we pray for them? Is that all right? They're a huge part of what Reach Out is. They really are living up to the name. They're reaching out literally to give food, to give compassion, to give love, to exercise all the gifts. Whatever people need, we want to be that full stop place. Amen. So let's stand together. Can we do that? Just reach out towards them. I'll be the hands-on guy, but you guys can reach, all right? Father, I thank you for this couple, Lord God. And Lord, by their own admission, there's been times, seasons where it was tough and it was hard, but they called out to you. And Lord, you showed them through signs and wonders, Lord God, that you had more for them and you encouraged them. So now they don't even think that way anymore. They just continue to follow and serve you. And your grace keeps growing in their lives. And with the growing grace comes growing gifts, Lord, as we learned earlier. So we speak a blessing upon them. And Lord, I'd like to believe for another 21 years, but Lord, obviously your will be done for them to continue to lead and serve and love not only the patrons, the people who come, but loving the team that's gathered around them as well as they serve in the kingdom together, as they function in a sense as a mini body of Christ during the food pantry, each one helping one another to see all the gifts, to see a full picture of Jesus. And so, Lord God, just bless them, keep them. We pray for all the helpers that help, Lord, that have been consistent and just faithful. And pray, Lord, that you'll put it on the hearts of some listening maybe online or sitting here right now to be able to want to be a part of this as well. So bless them. I pray every financial need be met, Lord, according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we thank you. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for them. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Pastor.